I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. Greetings to all our listeners out there. I'm ably assisted by an elf from the South Pole, Father Garrett Burns.
Hello.
And our Hermy lookalike, Father Drew Hoffman.
Hey.
And then I had to look up what his name was. Hermy?
I wouldn't have got it either.
Yeah, but Hermy, from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, as you told us.
I did say that during one of these. Yeah, if you put them next to each other, it's a spin.
Doppelganger.
It's impressive. But I did have to look up his name. I didn't know what it was offhand. We are broadcasting today from the studio of St. Raphael the Archangel. For no other reason than we've done the other two archangels, and I don't want one of them mad at me.
We got to
keep things even. Keep things on par.
Yeah, of course.
We continue on. Oh, before we get into that, actually, announcement time. Coming up, we've got our discernment retreat, Quo Vadis. That is December 30th through January 1st. So if you are a young man, age 17 to 30, discerning the possibility of priesthood for the Diocese of Wichita or Salina or Dodge City, a lot of times those guys send people our way, you can come to the Spiritual Life Center for that weekend, December 30th through January 1st, for our Quo Vadis retreat. You can sign up on the website. You can give my office a call. We can help you. It is a fantastic retreat. I went on two before I went into seminary. Both were really helpful and good. How many did you do, Gary?
I went on one.
You went one?
I never went.
You never went on one? No. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Where are you going? Father Adam Grellinger, who's here at the house, I think he went on five.
Wow.
And like the fifth Yeah, he's like, the final one I just went on because I'm like, this is the last time I'm doing this and then I'm done. And then that was something clicked in place on that retreat, and he entered seminary after that, and he's a priest today.
All right.
Is that a record? Do we know? Do we know what the record is?
I wonder what we should
not
find
that
out.
Is maybe a great record for someone to have.
That
just
we
the
need
perpetual
a,
discerner. But
we need a poll among the priests, like the most Quo Vadises that led to the priesthood and the most Quo Vadises that did not lead to the priesthood. But we've got a killer retreat master this year, Father Brett Brannan.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If you've ever read To Save a Thousand Souls or at all familiar with that discernment book, it's kind of a big deal. The author of that, Father Brett Brannan, has agreed to come here to Wichita, Kansas. He's currently the director of spiritual formation at Josephinum Theologate Seminary. And so he's taking a little bit of a break from there, coming our way. And he's going to put on our Quo Vadis retreat December 30th through January 1st.
That's awesome.
And so, he's got a great Southern accent and Southern idiom. So like, it'll be entertaining if nothing else.
And he's a storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great storyteller. And so he's easy to listen to. You'll laugh. You'll grow really well spiritually. So that all interests you, sign up. It'll be a great weekend. So we're continuing on in our Advent season. Now, growing up, a big part of Advent for me were Advent calendars. You know, I don't know if you guys ever had those where like each day of Advent, you poke out the little thing and there's a piece
some
of cheap chocolate
or
in there, and that was super exciting. I loved Advent calendars. I always mean to buy one as an adult, but I haven't. And in recent years, though, I've seen like they've expanded. I don't know if you've seen like the newer versions of Advent calendar. Like I've seen one for religious socks. It's like it's a big old box, and every day is a different pair of socks.
Wow.
In there. Last year or the year before, my secretary Linda got for her husband the whiskey Advent calendar. So every day is like a little bottle of a different type of whiskey to try.
If any listeners are prayerfully discerning their gift to the to About 4 O'Clock, it's traditional for a listener to give a gift to their favorite podcast
of course.
For Christmas. Chad hates Christmas, and so
he doesn't want to celebrate. You like Advent calendars?
Yeah,
I love Advent calendars.
Huh, interesting.
See, wait. Not interesting.
Yes, quite.
Not interesting. Consistent. Advent goes with Advent. Christmas
goes with
Christmas.
No, but it's become commercialized. You just explained how commercialized it's actually become. Yeah. You're getting treats before Christmas.
I'm using it as preparation for Christmas, how it's meant to be done. If someone were to send a whiskey Advent calendar, I would listen to a Christmas song as I sampled each new whiskey.
Somebody accept that challenge in listener land.
I would even let Father Drew pick out what the songs would be for each day.
Ooh.
That could be whatever Christmas song you preach on that day would be the Christmas song
I would listen to.
That commitment you made 30 minutes ago, I already forgotten about.
Shoot.
Well,
It is crazy though. I did a quick search. I had no idea. There's a hot sauce one.
I did not know this at all.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different beauty products.
Really?
I think, yeah, there was like an underwear. You get a new pair of underwear every day. So it's just getting you, it's just, it's liturgical, Drew. It's getting you ready for Christmas.
Absurd.
I didn't know there were that many. Oh. See, I thought I was being kind of inventive. So I put the question to the guys of what would an advent calendar for a discerner or seminary look like? But who knows? This product may already be out there. There's so many of them. So when I was thinking about it, it was a little bit harder than I thought it would be. I don't know. You guys come up with any good thing for an advent calendar for a seminarian or a discerner? What would go inside those boxes?
Okay. This might be cheesy, and I guess maybe this doesn't count, but the daily reading for the day from the Old Testament is what I would put in there. Because when I'm telling people, and I would encourage this for you in your own spiritual life, we talked a little bit about Advent, and Advent's my favorite liturgical season. It is my favorite liturgical season, largely because of the daily readings. I love,
there's
no season I love reading the daily readings more, particularly the Old Testament reading. And then Advent is just exciting of this kind of, all of salvation history is kind of taken up in the experience of Advent, from the early times, kind of the end times, to moving forward to specific prophecies of Jesus, then eventually in the last 8 days, the infancy narratives in the New Testament and their corresponding Old Testament reading. I just think it's thrilling, and it can be a really exciting spiritual adventure to go on. And so, like, this challenge for a discerner or for a seminarian to make sure they are meditating, and hopefully they are, and maybe they are already in their holy hour or in their prayer time, but to make sure they're doing that on a daily basis, I found really edifying.
I like that. But you, Gare?
Yeah, the idea I came up with was for a discerner's advent calendar wouldn't be you get something out of the calendar, but you have to put something in.
Ooh,
so like,
that's a new spin.
One day you have to put your headphones in, or, you know, you're like, you're not going to listen. Or your phone, at least for, you know, most of the day.
Or
I don't know. You'd have to flesh it out a little bit more, but something you're going to sacrifice and build a space. I mean, that's what Advent's about, like creating a space of expectation. And that's what it takes for vocation too, to take a space to receive that call from God. So we'd have to flesh that out.
But I actually like that. I feel like we could do that at the house.
Dang, dude. That's a cool idea. Yeah.
We'd have Advent shoe boxes because it'd have enough room for everyone to put their thing in. Just that'd be kind of cool, actually. I like that. I was thinking, I had a couple different thoughts. One, you could do like a religious medal, a little write-up of a different saint each day. And so, you know, whether it was Advent related, discern related, but just getting a different medal each day. I thought about all of them being filled with a miraculous medal, and you have to go and give that medal to someone each day. So again, bringing them to the Blessed Mother as we prepare for Christmas. So handing out each day of Advent, you get a new miraculous medal. Maybe it'd be a different style. I don't know. Copyright that idea. And then you got to go and pass it around. But my favorite one is, just being silly, is that there'd be in each box a few grains of incense. Because there's nothing seminarians love more than incense. And so like each week would be a different scent. And then Sunday's one is like a coal. And so each Sunday of Advent, you burn the incense from the previous this week. And it just kind of, next week's another flavor. And I feel like that would work. I feel like
there's something there.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
The guys here at the house have like a little mini incense burn. Like day one, one of the new guys, can we burn incense in the chapel just when we're praying there? Yeah, why not? Sure. So they've got like their own little personal incense burner that they'll put up in the chapel. Okay. So it actually helps me to know when they're praying.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's right.
Sniff around like, oh, the guys are in the chapel.
What if it just ramped up to where, like, you know, they were ready to apply for seminary by Christmas? So it's like the first day is like an about 4 o'clock sticker. And then it's like an invite to Quivadis.
It's like name, phone number, email,
address. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And here is the application. Yeah.
Perfect. I like it. So as we approach Christmas, one of the titles our Lord is given at the Christmas season is the Prince of Peace. We hear that in songs sometimes.
We certainly do.
It's in
Drew and I do. I don't know if
you probably haven't.
I read about it in the Bible. That's where I get my theology from. I don't have to listen to KKRD or what is that still
KKRG.
A thing?
KKRG.
Does that
Holy
still exist?
Cow. What
a throwback.
My goodness, man.
That's the only radio station I can solidly remember. Does it still exist?
I'm sure it still exists as a radio station. I don't know. It's 2022. I love radios.
Aren't they called K-Love?
Yeah. No. Shout out to our radio station.
That's right.
Aficionados.
When was the last time you had FM on in your car?
When I'm driving a really short distance and I don't want to plug my phone in. Like that. If I'm going to Fuzzy's. To be honest, when I go to Fuzzy's to pick up nachos, I listen to the radio.
Nacho Run is FM radio time. Well, so we hear this title of our Lord as Prince of Peace, and a lot of times people will use peace, or at least their understanding of it, as a discernment tool. I'll talk with someone like, Father, I know this is of the Lord because I feel a lot of peace about this decision. And I don't always know what to do with that, honestly, because peace can be a discernment tool. There is a peace of God. He is the Prince of Peace, but he also comes to bring division, comes to bring the sword. So peace isn't the end-all, be-all of discernment. And I find a lot of people are actually misusing that understanding of peace to justify things rather than as a real discernment tool. And so a flag always kind of goes up in my head when someone's talking about, oh, I feel a lot of peace about this. Well, let's explore what you actually mean with that. So it's taken me a few years to find a way of how I articulate that or how I help people or instruct them. And I'm not certain that I'm doing it great anyways. But so I don't know if you guys have experienced that in your own life of successful ways of using peace as a discernment tool, or even just in conversations with different parishioners or in different ways of ministry, how peace and how you tell, okay, is this a peace coming from God that helps me answer this, or is this peace coming from somewhere else?
You know, the catechism, I think, says peace is not the absence of conflict. And that I've always appreciated. So sometimes I can think that I'm at peace because nothing bad is happening in my life or nothing negative is happening in my life. And if I'm looking for that, I probably have a pretty boring life, or there's just not a lot going on. That's not necessarily peace, that nothing bad is happening. Peace is a deeper thing. Peace is a calm, maybe in a contentment in the Christian sense. And I can act in charity and encourage out of peace, even when tough stuff is happening. And so that'd be maybe just the first step of it. If I'm looking for true peace, not looking for a world in which I don't have any struggles, problems, or difficulties, because that's naive, or I'll cut some corners and not go into some hard places to avoid division, difficulty, because I'm peace, what I think of peace. Peace is, because he's the Prince of Peace, peace is the goal, but peace understood maybe in a broader sense.
Yeah, I will be honest, when you first kind of threw out the question, I didn't know what to say, because that's usually where I go, of like, peace is a good sign, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you experience peace, but like you're saying, what does that actually mean? And so it's helpful to identify what it's not, right? It's not contentment. It's not a mediocrity. I think that can be the temptation of, so if I'm not, giving myself in any new ways and I'm feeling quote unquote peace, is that just mediocrity? Is it just me staying, well, everything's pretty much cool, which I know I get the sense that's where a lot of the modern world can be, of like, I mean, I was just teaching our RCIA and I'm going off on, we're just talking about sin and Jesus, just kind of try to give a charismatic thing, this is who Jesus is. And then at the end, they're like, yeah, but can you just kind of explain like why maybe that matters? And, you know, but I think it was just there. Like, I think a lot of them just felt like, well, my life is like kind of fine and I'm not a part of the church and nothing's truly too good or too bad, but that's to leave you in. So I'm at quote unquote peace, I'm fine. But like you're saying, a deeper peace is going to be a conflict and a struggle, but it's going to lead you to something more. So yeah, I don't know maybe what the best way you would lead a guy to figure out which one of those that actually is.
And I guess I would say it's like an office. You have an office or you have a team or something like that, and you want them to be at peace. But that, if that's the end goal, it's just they're not fighting their conflict. It can be kind of this Kansas nice, like nobody say anything tough to anybody else. And so a team at peace may be a bad team. Like any sports team said, that there should be some fighting in the locker room. There should be some arguing in the locker room. Okay, in my discernment, there shouldn't, just being at peace, like, thank you, Jesus, for this gift of this vocation. You're not going to discern a vocation exclusively at peace in that sense. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some stuff going on. There can be some stuff going on and real peace at the same time.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good, as I have found a way, I think is saying pretty much the same thing you guys are saying, just maybe some different language. I always juxtapose it for guys, you know, God's peace versus the world's peace. And the world's peace is, as you were saying, Drew, or the catechism directly speaks against, the world's peace is non-opposition. And so guys will tell me, you know, oh, Father, I've been discerning about this and I've decided to do this and I feel a lot of peace, so I know it's God's will. No, you just made a decision, and honestly, you made the easy decision. So I think of like guys have been struggling with something, saying, "Father, I'm leaving. I'm going to do this," and that may or may not be God's will. But the fact that you feel peace about this doesn't actually indicate God. It just means you've removed an opposition to you, and I'm not struggling with this anymore. Of course, you feel peace. That's obvious, but that's not a sign of God.
Would we maybe then contrast peace and consolation? in the sense of, you know, peace, the absence of conflict, consolation, a closeness with the Lord, affirmation, energy, even to the point of tears, that what we are wanting actually, what is actually important in decision-making is consolation. I guess maybe what would be the relationship between those two things?
I don't know about the relationship between consolation and peace. As I see the peace of God is that I am at peace no matter what's going on around me. And that's okay. Where you see with the saints, there is opposition. In fact, oftentimes when they are living the gospel, there's an opposition that they're facing, but they're not disturbed by it in their interior. But I would almost call it an inner confidence. You know, when you know what you're doing and when you know what you're about, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, you have this interior confidence like, this is what the Lord is asking me to do. And so I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be struggle, but there's an interior calm. There's an interior peace there. I think of actually just yesterday's reading, yesterday in real time, not yesterday in the whenever this comes out, but the Pharisees come up to Jesus and they say, you got to get out of here. Herod's trying to kill you. And Jesus says, go tell that fox.
Yeah. Tell that fox.
Which is a great line. Yeah. It's like one of the few times Jesus is kind of throwing shade that go tell that fox that I have a mission and I am about this mission. And so the fact that the world was opposing him means very little, yeah. But there's this inner peace, this inner confidence, because he knows who he is. He knows what he's about. He knows there's going to be struggle, but that doesn't take his peace away. Whereas so often in the world, we're just settling for non-opposition. And usually, I think when you mentioned it, that leads to a bad place when we're just trying to avoid opposition. The classic historical example would be Great Britain right before World War II. Neville Chamberlain, you know, peace at all costs. And so, you know, he's willing to placate Hitler and all of those things for anything, yep, to maintain that there's no war, that there's no opposition, that there's no peace. And what does that do? It puts them in a far worse condition when it's inevitable. But peace at all costs. He wasn't actually talking about a deeper peace of knowing who they are and what they're about. Let's avoid any sort of opposition whatsoever out of fear, out of exhaustion, whatever the reason may be. Avoiding that opposition will actually usually lead to a worse place.
So maybe that's a key there of something we've mentioned before, but you got to have a spiritual director. You got to be, yep, talking about this, because if you're not, maybe you're just self-isolated and you're just blind to the torpedoes and the everything else, the opposition that's out there. And you're just saying, well, I'm at peace and I'm good where I'm at. But a real peace would be to go out there to talk to somebody and have them tell you, no, man, you should stay in seminary. You should go to seminary. You should try this. And if you still have a deep peace when you've been honest with other people, you've heard opposition from them and you take it to prayer and you still have this deeper confidence, that might be a better sign rather than just like, I've kind of figured this out on my own. Uh-huh. That just means I'm avoiding conflict and I'm not like, I have something deeper than the conflict. That's the peace.
Man, I can't stop thinking about that. I'm at peace with it. I'm leaving, I'm doing this, and I'm at peace with it. It's almost like, oh, then I can't argue with you.
Right.
I can't argue with you.
That's how they use it. Yeah, that's how they use it. Yeah.
It's almost like this weapon that can be used. I'm at peace with it. Like, okay, that may or may not be true, and that may or may not be good. Like, if you're making a hard decision, you shouldn't necessarily just be totally at peace the next day. If this is like this life-changing thing that you're deciding to do, you shouldn't, or you're lying to yourself if the next day you're like, yeah, I'm fine, cool, great, nothing can mess with me. It's like, no, you're still thinking about it. There's still some churning and some difficulties that are going on there. It could be the right decision and that's okay. I'm going to still move forward. But just to throw out, I'm at peace, that's, then what can I say? No, you're not. It's like, no, I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. And so you've kind of veiled yourself there.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, especially in our modern world. I think that's used as a defense mechanism to shut down further conversation, which, again, is a sign, going back to our earlier thing, that this isn't the peace of God. If you are wanting to avoid all contrary opinions because this thing feels so fragile, the choice that you've made, well, I'm at peace, don't talk to me about it.
Yeah.
That's probably a pretty good sign. That's not the peace of God, because the peace of God is go tell that fox, bring it up here. We can deal with it.
This is on a physical level, but in Screwtape Letters, they're sad that the war starts, the demons. The demons are not happy that the war is going on. The under demon, if you've read Screwtape Letters, it's a professional demon helping a under demon how to tempt a soul. And the war starts, World War II, and the under demon is like, great, this is awesome. And the pro demon is basically saying, no, this isn't what we want. Sometimes the absence of conflict is when we can get souls the best. The presence of conflict is when a soul sometimes can be strong, can show their bravery, can stand firm, can do great acts of charity. That's not what we want here. And so that, I think, some tension, some difficulty, some lack of peace in a certain sense is really healthy in the spiritual life. And for my, you know, in a physical sense, I hope and pray not, but in the spiritual life for sure.
And maybe that's part of the examination, which, as you were saying, Gare, is key with a good spiritual director, something like, okay, what is the source of this peace? Where is this peace coming? Is it non-opposition? Am I willing to talk about all of these things? Because sometimes guys will come in and start the application process, and I'll see them in the second or third meeting, and they're a little bit flustered, like, well, I'm not feeling real peaceful about this. I'm like, that's all right. Let's talk about why. Well, I'm worried about this. Well, I'm worried. Okay. Fears are bringing out this, the things around you. This isn't coming from within. It's you're afraid of the obligations. You're afraid you're going to be missing out, or you're afraid that you haven't done enough of these things. And so you're looking at that, and that makes you a little uncomfortable. That's not a sign saying, oh, God has left you because there's no interior peace. You know, you're looking at some of the opposition, and that's going to challenge you. And that's a good thing. And so paying attention of where this arises. So I've seen both guys in the negative sense come to me, and they're doing the application process, and they basically are getting what we would call cold feet or a little bit nervous about it. I'm like, well, I'm not feeling the peace when I start. Is this a sign that I'm not supposed to go in? Nope. You're just feeling the waves of the ocean.
Yep.
Just like Peter in the boat, like you stepped out and then suddenly you see the waves and it freaked you out a little bit. That doesn't mean you're not doing God's will. It just means, yeah, you're looking at the realities there, and we can work through that.
Yeah, and there even should be some uncertainty, kind of like you're talking about. This is a big decision. You want some of that. And even I was looking over Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe, great which book. Is a great treatise on this. And he talks about that the Lord can actually love him more when one makes a decision when he is uncertain. Because he says with that, there's more abandonment, there's more confidence, and therefore more love. So he doesn't want you to be a robot and a slave, but a friend that's engaged in this. And so one, don't seek that as an idol, and don't try to use that as just the hammer of just like, oh, I'm at peace and this is what I do want to do. There should be a deep peace, but that's never going to be perfect. And so being willing to be influenced by somebody else and to take a leap at some point. There's going to be some lingering fear. There's going to be some lingering uncertainty that lets you make an act of confidence, an act of love for God.
Mm. I think maybe one of the ways too, as you're saying there, peace is a attribute. It's not the center thing. Mm. So sometimes people want to use that. Well, yeah, okay. It's a tool. It's an attribute. So if it's aligning with the other tools, that's a good sign. If it's standing in stark opposition, okay, this is not the center thing you base it on. You got to make sure the other stars are aligning with this piece too, and that's a part of it. It's part of a bigger picture.
You've got this famous Mother Teresa quote: "The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace." Like, peace is there, but it's, like you said, it's along this long path of peace that all of these other things kind of play into. These hard, tense things are part of it too. And it's an attribute of a fruit of all of these things, not just like this thing that I'm attaining and grabbing. It's a fruit that comes from a life lived close to the Lord in service, in prayer, in love, and in silence.
Mm-hmm. And I think there will always be a bit of uncertainty. I mean, that's because God is so massive. And when there is uncertainty, that can disturb peace. When you're a one of like Mother Teresa of deep service and deep faith and stuff, okay, that uncertainty doesn't disturb the peace. So yeah, she's going to have a lot more peace in uncertain conditions than a discerner or a new seminarian or a young priest or even a slightly older priest like myself, not quite as young. And we shouldn't expect that. You know, this idea that, well, I said yes to God, I should have the same peace as Mother Teresa. Well, no, she's been on this path. She's been doing these other things for a while. So I may have some peace, but I'm stepping into this massive thing that is God. And so there is going to be some uncertainty, especially in the beginning, because I don't know him as well. It's St. Augustine, you know, if you think you know God, then you don't. And so I shouldn't think I'm going to have this instant set of profound, long last. There may be, like consolation, moments of peace.
Yeah.
And that's part of, again, reading the map of all the other things with the help of a good spiritual director. But it's not my center decide point. And if I'm using it as a defensive strategy, that's almost certainly not the peace of God, but a piece of non-opposition of the world.
Just a question. When do we stop saying slightly older? So when do you stop being slightly older? Like, you're a decade older than us.
Yeah. I don't know where I fit in that category.
So it's not slightly older. I would say it's just older. So that's just
not
something.
Super old. He's not
no,
super
but older. So I don't know if slightly really fits
in the tradition of the church. I'm barely older. Oh, you know,
barely older.
Barely. I mean, when you consider it on a 2000 spectrum, I mean, I'm practically the same age. I don't feel like a young priest anymore, but I don't feel like an old priest. Yeah, so I don't know that what that makes me. I don't know.
When did you stop feeling like a young priest?
Probably before I was a priest. I don't know. No, probably when the first class of 10 was ordained, just because they're like, wow, there's a bunch of guys younger than me now. And that did not disturb my peace because I knew who I was I was doing. And so knowing the Lord, the fact that this opposition that there were younger people out there no longer bothered me. I know who I am. You're a pro at this. I know what I'm about. That's the peace.
We're here
of
to
God.
Oppose you.
Sometimes it feels like that.
Oh, man.
Especially, we've had two prospects dinners lately, and the two assistant vocation director, the first one just completely snowballs us and just doesn't show up
at
some all.
Stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Confessions. And then the other assistant vocation, the very next one, he shows up for like 40 minutes of a 2-hour event. So
you guys are
a great help in doing this vocations work. I can see where your heart is.
Did anybody come from Wichita State?
I don't know. I tried to ask their chaplain at the end of the evening, but he was nowhere to be seen.
You're getting too into your Job, God talking to Job.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were there at the start of the world.
Afterward. RCIA, interesting. That's where I was headed.
We did have a couple guys from WSU, a recent RCIA convert, and so that's really awesome. So, and I
two of them were there.
Yeah.
Recent converts.
Yeah.
Let's go. God is good, man.
Pretty good. Pretty good. And I assume some of the Margaret Mary guys had been to confession in the past.
I assume.
You know, there's a connection there, too.
That was funny.
Well, Father Drew's got a heart out today, so we would talk for hours longer, but, you know, he's got...
Confessions.
Things that are more important than talking about it. I hope you feel at peace about this choice.
I certainly do.
Well, thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. Father Drew has the final word today.
As this comes out, this is like my favorite week of the year. The day before, we'll have had the Guadalupe Parade, probably, through Wichita. This week is full of Guadalupe celebrations, culminating on Our Lady Guadalupe next Monday. And so... one of my favorite quotes of all of history from Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego in his nervousness. Let nothing alter your heart or your countenance. Do not fear any illness or trouble, anxiety or pain. Am I not here, who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the fold of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need?
See you next week.